Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm host of the program, but also, more importantly, a father of five. We broadcast from my basement out here in the eastern plains of Colorado. Dave Buhner also with me, broadcasting at a unique time in American history, a unique time in Western history, where we are seeing the breakdown of the Western civilization as we have known it, family, freedom, faith, disappearing in the postmodern world, at least in this hemisphere. But we want to address things from the perspective of a biblical worldview on this radio broadcast. Do it every day from my basement. And Dave, I had the opportunity to watch the news for the first time in a long time. We were out for a few days of vacation up in Vail, and while I was working out in the gym, I was watching the news, and it turns out that the influenza virus, the H1N1 influenza virus, is a very big concern for a lot of folks right now around America. A young boy, 12 years of age, just died up there in the mountains this last weekend. They were playing Amazing Grace in the background as the funeral proceedings took place, of course. So some reference to God. It's interesting how some reference to God always seems to slip out in the news, but ultimately the solution to this problem is government-based, and inoculations is the direction that people are saying we need to go on this one. Apparently only a third of United States folks plan to get swine flu vaccine, per an article that came out yesterday. One reason might be that 57% of adults with conditions that put them at risk of severe flu complications are not aware of their risk of severe swine flu. According to this article, nearly a third of those polled said they had at least one of the health conditions that increase swine flu risk. Only 35% of Americans' parents plan to have their children vaccinated against swine flu. Nevertheless, Dave, it's interesting, only 35,000 people get the flu in any given year. And so far, there have been 500 to 600 deaths in the United States attributed to the swine flu. Not that much different from those who pass away from the flu, other forms of the flu, in any given year. So far, the swine flu is not a pandemic level. However, there are experts out there who say it may eventually reach a pandemic level.
Well, this hysteria about the swine flu is being stirred up by our federal government and its agencies, including the CDC out of Atlanta, the Center for Disease Control. This appears to be a flu with an agenda, and the agenda is larger government. Government can solve your problems, and you're going to try and create a crisis here, and government's going to fill the void about this virulent strain of influenza. But the problem is it's not living up to its billing. It is simply no more deadly than the regular flu that comes every year.
At least at this point. Of course, pandemics can happen, and people are concerned. People are afraid that it may happen here. It may happen here in this country. It may eventually affect every single town and village throughout America. But remember that pandemics did not surface until cities began to develop and centralization of society occurred in cities throughout the 1600s, 1500s and 1600s, and that's why you had a lot of cities that took the bubonic plague, where about a third of Europe was wiped out by the bubonic plague. But that would not have happened had it not been for the centralization of society in a lot of the big cities like London and Paris and Frankfurt and other large cities in Europe that had not developed until, like I say, the 1400s and 1500s. So, but now we have many, many large cities, probably thousands more than we had, say, 400 or 500 years ago, which means that presently society is much more subject to these significant pandemics that could wipe out potentially millions of people. And, Dave, I'm not saying that this could not happen. Of course, what we're seeing today is that people are presenting the government and the government inoculation programs as the solution to any kind of pandemic that may come to our society.
I think most people will be exposed to the flu virus somewhere, sometime, because of the way that we live. And we shake hands, and we see lots of people, and we go to church, and we go to the supermarkets, and et cetera. But just because you're exposed to the flu doesn't mean you're going to catch the flu. And just because you catch the flu doesn't mean it's going to be severe. And just because it's severe doesn't mean you're going to die. We spend a lot of time worrying about meteors crashing into the earth or the ice caps melting or the flu catching us or the next bubonic plague or whatever it is. What we want to fear is anything but the God who sends it.
Now, we have addressed the issue of inoculations on this program before, and I want to touch on it one more time. There are schools, there are large schools, large corporations that bring a lot of people together in one particular area where people have opportunity to spread disease. And I believe that if you send your children into these schools, if you send your children to these corporations, to these government offices, if you work in these government offices where there are lots of people, those government offices, those government systems, those corporations, those schools have a right to insist upon those participating in their organizations being inoculated. So that is something that they can do. I believe they can do that. The only other solution beyond the inoculations, as far as I'm concerned, would be to decentralize, to develop smaller groups of people operating in smaller areas such that these pandemics would not take out millions of people at a time. So, in other words, you're going to have to inoculate. Now, that's not to say that inoculations always work. And there will be X percentage of people that will die of those inoculations, and that's what happens. And there will be some tainting in the inoculations. And Dave, I think there may be some connection between autism and inoculations. I believe there are Amish children who do not get inoculated, and there's almost no incidence of autism among those kids. So there are, you know, certainly opportunities for people to get sick and for other problems to develop as a result of these inoculations. Anytime you centralize, my friends, anytime you centralize control over systems, over agriculture, over schools, over medicine, you're going to see that there will be some drawbacks to that centralization. Dave, I think it affects the food supplies. I think it affects the way that we eat. I think it brings new diseases into our cities and into our families because of all of this centralization and the sort of inoculations that are required because of the centralization that occurs.
Well, one thing that inoculation does is it introduces a virus into the body. A weaker strain of the virus you're trying to protect against, you develop antigens in the body that will then protect you against the virus. In other words, we're going to make you a little bit sick so you don't get a lot bit sick. One of the problems with that, however, is given enough time, people's immunity systems are no longer as robust as they might have been had they faced the more virulent strains. So if a virus mutates, becomes a new virus, and a more virulent virus at that, it may make us more susceptible as a population. And this is basic germ theory here. But if you weaken your defense, you are more vulnerable to a strong attack.
And Dave, also researchers are warning that the overuse of the flu vaccine and anti-flu drugs like Tamiflu and Relenza can apply genetic pressure on flu viruses to mutate, as you mentioned, and eventually become more powerful strains. So you have all of these drawbacks to the kinds of things that happen in heavily centralized societies. Dave, I think the pressures are increasing with each given decade as we continue to centralize, as we continue to inoculate, as we continue to move down this path. I think the potential for massive pandemics are even greater as the years go by, which may eventually encourage people to homeschool and decentralize in the places that they live and so forth. And we've mentioned that on many occasions on this radio program. One of the goals of this radio program is to decentralize economies, to decentralize our churches, to get out of the mega churches, to get out of the mega cities, to develop smaller communities where we develop new relationships with people. We get to know each other over the back fence, and we live in the same area for long periods of time to disallow these sorts of things to happen, pandemics to occur in large centralized areas. Well, also, just homeschooling may be a solution to this, Dave. I was thinking there are a lot of parents who may listen to these broadcasts and find out that there are 12-year-old kids who are dying of the flu somewhere in the mountains here in Colorado, and they may say, hey, maybe the solution to this problem is to homeschool our children and to keep them out of these areas in which these flu germs may be prevalent.
It may help. The larger the network, I mean, think about a computer virus. The larger the network, the more connected it is, the more susceptible it is to various viruses, various bugs that are coming from different places. If you are able to put up a firewall and protect a segment of that network, you're more likely not to catch that virus. And this is what you do when you homeschool. You're firewalling your kids away from that contact with the general population, with hundreds of kids. But there's more to it than that. You see, I think instead of just isolating our children, instead of getting these inoculations of these drugs that have been rushed to the marketplace, we're not spending near enough effort doing the things we know we ought to do, which is building a strong immune system through work and healthy habits. We would rather go ahead and take the vaccine so that we go on living the life of anonymity and living the life of fast food and living the life of processed food and non-exercise. All of this contributes to a life where we could become victims rather than as Jesus says, more than conquerors.
And let's get back to the very basic issues of life, Dave. If we're going to live healthy lives, if we're going to be blessed, we better be blessed of God himself. Because the reason why people get diseases ultimately is because there is a God in the heaven. He's sovereign over everything that happens. And so in just a moment, we want to talk about how we react to these circumstances and these stories. Are we going to fear God? Are we going to walk in his ways? Are we going to trust in God, or are we going to trust in the government to save us from these things? Be back in just a moment to talk about how we look at the news, how we receive the bad reports that we get from Pango Pango or anywhere else in the world. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here. Watch the news just this week, and it's amazing the sort of worldview that you get as you watch the news. Now, Dave, of course, reference to God does slip out. I mentioned the Amazing Grace tune was playing in the background as they buried the young boy up in the mountains. But at the same time, I'm listening to a broadcast from, I think it was CBS News with Katie Couric. And they were talking about the big earthquake and the mega tsunami wave that hit Pango Pango out in the South Seas. And they had a segment where somebody was praying to God, they were praying to the Lord Jesus Christ that he would protect them as that 20, 30, 40 foot wave came crashing in upon the island. And Dave, I mean, they had that plan. People were praying during this time. And Dave, it's interesting how reference to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ seems to slip out through these news stories, but only at the point at which the wave is smashing onto the shore. And I think people for a moment recognize that government will not save them. For most of the newscast, it is government that is supposed to save you. And this, of course, is what we're supposed to learn from these pandemics and from these earthquakes and everything else that comes along, because ultimately we're always going back to the fact that Barack Obama declared the area a disaster zone, and aid is starting to flow from the United States federal government because they are the savior of all mankind. And so the case is closed. We have a bad story, something negative is happening, government's going to come in and save all of the people and save all their houses and save all their property that was destroyed by the earthquake. Pandemic is happening, but government's coming in. Never worry, government's coming in, going to mandate those influenza inoculations, and they've got programs whereby we're going to get everybody inoculated in the United States, and on and on and on it goes. And I think the goal for these broadcasts is to get people to believe, number one, to fear circumstances, yes, to fear the fates, to fear nature, and to fear the things that could happen to you, but secondly, to trust in the government to save you. Now, Dave, I drew a comparison between what I was participating in these worship services we call news broadcasts and the worship services that we go to on a Sunday. When somebody is up there preaching the Word of God and we're going to a church on Sunday, obviously fear and trust is the same goal. I mean, the same goal experienced on Sunday as we do in the evening newscast. We're to fear circumstances and trust in the government for salvation as we watch the newscast. But on Sundays, we want to teach people to fear God, who is the cause of these things, and to trust in God as our Savior to save us from these things, not just from physical maladies and physical problems, but also from the spiritual degradation of our sinful estate.
Kevin, while you were in Vail watching the news, I was watching a documentary on what's happening in Honduras. Some reporters went to Honduras to see if they were getting the straight scoop from the news. And it's very, very interesting. Speaking with one of the very high-ranking Honduran officials, he said, first off, they don't fear their own lives because they're a Christian nation. And secondly, he was hoping the United States would rescue them. So it was this irony right here, and it's exactly what you're saying. We have made the government, in this case the United States government, the savior. And Hondurans look to the United States as the savior that will protect their border from Venezuelan troops coming over or from Colombian hitmen creating havoc. And yet they say they fear God. But the solution doesn't seem to equate to that.
And of course, we on this radio program believe that God is in control of all things. God upholds everything by the word of his power. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. That is, you throw a dice out there, God will determine whether it would be a 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 as you toss that thing. And in Matthew chapter 10:29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Heavenly Father. That is, God is in control of every minute detail that happens. In fact, any kind of natural disaster that befalls us, whether it be an earthquake or tornado or what have you, is all the work of the hand of God. We believe that on this radio program. It's not a matter of the fates. It's not a matter of some kind of indeterminate chance universe that's just working out some of these details. No, God is in sovereign control of everything that he does on this earth. The Bible states this. The Bible says he's behind towers that fall and diseases that occur to people. And there are reasons and purposes for these diseases to come upon people. Sometimes it's for the power of God to be manifested in the life of that person. There are reasons why God does what he does. But the Word of God also says all his ways are judgment. And so if an earthquake comes, if an earthquake hits the Philippian jail, as it did when Paul and Silas were bound and imprisoned there, and when that earthquake occurs, was it because the hot magma formed 2 weeks earlier, pressing against another plate that produced the earthquake at the right time? Or was it the fact that God called that to happen at that point in time? And I'm going to conclude that God determines when these things happen. And they, therefore, if God is the source of these things, then he ought to be feared. And so, see, this is what ought to construct a biblical way of doing news. If there's any kind of a biblical journalist out there that's studying biblical journalism, wants to be a Christian journalist, today, anywhere in ABC, NBC, CBS, or Fox News, he better acknowledge the source of these things to be God himself, and he ought to give God a little credit, a little worship, and a little fear for these things happening. And Dave, I just not hearing this from the newscasters. Now, I did hear it from the people that they recorded who were praying and crying out to Jesus to save them from the wave that was hitting Pango Pango.
You know, God works through means. So, yes, he heated the magna. That was him. He did it. He also timed it perfectly to execute his will. And not to be trite about this, but because God is sovereign over all the little details, he's sovereign over how the dice fall, you would think that there would be more worship in the casinos than there would be anywhere. So that would be a temple. Of course, if the people were worshiping God there, they might not enter the casino. So you see the problem.
Dave, great point. I you know, occasionally they will pray, though. They'll pray, God, please help me to win $1 million here. So I'm sure there are people out there praying that God will give them the desires of their hearts, which happens to be money. And unfortunately, they're worshiping money. And so if God gives them the desire of their heart, oftentimes he'll give them their desire of their heart, but it'll wind up destroying them, as it did the number one lottery winner in America. I think we went over that case a couple of weeks ago on this radio program. Well, folks, God is in control of these things. Personally, I think as we watch the news, our response needs to be to worship him, to worship God, to fear God, and not to fear the government. The government wants to be feared, and the media is in the government's pocket, and the media worships government itself and believes that government ought to be the solution to all these things. And Dave, I think the reason why these people are praying to Jesus when that 20, 30-foot tidal wave is rolling into Pango Pango is because for just a split second, everybody realizes government has no control over this mega, mega wave that's coming in from this 8.3 on the Richter scale earthquake. It's only God that controls anything of this magnitude, of anything of this size. And so at the
the point where people feel like they're subject to the mighty winds of a tornado or the mighty waves of a tsunami, they for a second recognize government can't control any of these things. Government is one of the weakest gods you could ever have. So for just a moment, they wonder why they've worshipped government and why they haven't been worshipping the living God who is in control of all these things.
Yeah, at that very moment, they realize their humanism is going to fail them. Humanism looks to the spirit of man optimistically. We can solve all our own problems. When that wave is coming, they realize man cannot solve his problems. There are problems too big for even the collective man, the governments of the world, to fix.
But for the time being, folks, people are going to pick up the Wall Street Journal and believe that the Federal Reserve System and the government-driven economic programs are sufficient in power and omniscience and knowledge, wisdom, to be able to protect them from any economic failure in the future. But Dave, when that 600-foot tidal wave of economic debacle hits the shores of America and that domino affects all the other economic dominoes around the world, when that huge economic chaos comes from that Keynesian indebted system that he left us some 100 years ago, when that system comes down, I tell you what, there are going to be more people, I think, falling on their knees and praying to the gods. I mean, maybe not the God who created heaven and earth, maybe not the God of the Bible, but they're going to be praying to the gods. They're going to be a little more religious, recognizing that there has got to be something transcendent, something bigger, something more sovereign than this puny little government run by Barack Obama?
Kevin, God can come and bring judgment in so many ways. Foreign invasion, earthquakes, volcanoes, hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis. The one thing he won't do is flood the whole earth. That's what we know. He won't flood the whole earth again. He may send a meteor to crash into our atmosphere, but he won't flood the earth again. He can bring so many things. The only rational thing for a thinking man to do is to be right with God, because judgment will surely come, even if it's only your own death.
Dave, it's one of my dreams that we will one day see Christian media. I haven't seen it yet. I mean, there's been a few attempts at this. TBN and Pat Robertson's done some things. But, you know, you don't see people recognizing the hand of God, the presence of God, the involvement of God in the minute details of this world's occurrences as you see among biblical people, among the Puritans, among people that had a Christian way of thinking about things. I would love to see a Christian media where at the end of the news story, we say, let's cry out for God's mercy to deliver us from a pandemic that we may not be able to control, because those viruses may mutate to the point where we cannot provide any kind of inoculation against it. Let's cry out to the God who is in control of every single virus molecule in this universe and ask for his deliverance from these things, while at the same time we do what we can to quarantine and to provide medical care and so forth for those that contract the influenza of virus. In other words, let's bring God into this. Let's cry out for his mercy. At the end of the newscast on the huge tidal wave that took down Pango Pango, personally, I think that Katie Couric ought to be on her knees saying, you know, let's just pray to God for his mercy upon these people right now.
And if we had a Christian newscast, we would acknowledge that Barack Hussein Obama has been placed in the office of president by God himself. Yes, he used the means of voters, but God put him there. And why did God put him there? Well, I'll leave that up to the listeners here. Some might suggest it's judgment because we turned our back on God. Others may find it some kind of deliverance. But the fact of the matter is, God put him there.
And, of course, Barack Obama still has just as much responsibility as any other, including Nebuchadnezzar, to worship and serve the living God who raises up kings and brings them down. And good old King Neb in Babylon, according to the book of Daniel, learned that lesson when he was put out to pasture for a few years and humbled, in order that he might know that the most powerful king of the most powerful empire on earth had better worship and serve the living God, or he would bring him down. And that's the kind of lesson that Barack Obama and every other king and president in this world ought to pick up on and hopefully begin to recognize this God and turn to the TV cameras from time to time and say it's time for us to get on our knees and beg for the mercy of God in heaven upon this land. Of course, our founders would do this sort of thing. At the beginning of our Continental Congress, at the beginning of our war for independence, we had John Adams, George Washington, James Madison, other guys were down on their knees before the Lord, crying out to him. They read Psalm 77 for 2 to 3 hours. They had a prayer meeting asking for God's mercy upon this land. At one point, Benjamin Rush turned to John Adams during the Constitutional Convention meetings, and he said, do we have a chance at winning this incredible war against the greatest, most powerful military upon the face of the earth today? And John Adams replied, if we fear God and repent of our sins. That, my friends, was the perspective of the men who founded this nation. They feared God. They realized he was in absolute sovereign control of all things that happened. George Washington at the Constitutional Convention stood up and said, we will raise a standard to which the wise and the prudent shall repair, but the end, the result, is in the hand of God. He knew that God was sovereign over everything that happened, and he was willing to give God the glory and the credit for that. And I hope and pray that someday God will raise up some George Washingtons, some John Adams, James Madisons, who would recognize the president, the presence, the providence, the sovereignty of God. And folks, if that happens, I think we will be a blessed nation once again. You have been listening to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Let me encourage you to get a vision for the founding of this nation based upon the providential sovereignty of God. And I bring this out in my book, The Second Mayflower. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. Pick up a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower, at KevinSwanson.com today. And you can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.
You've been listening to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This program is supported entirely by donations from our listening audience. We need 120 donors to keep this radio program airing on this station. We want to encourage you to support the program and keep Generations on the air by visiting kevinswanson.com and click on Donate Today. Thank you.
Reformation Church is sponsoring Generations Radio because we have a passion for renewing truth and relationships in a lost and lonely world. In this nation, we find the family disintegrating, morality is on the decline, the culture is embracing nihilism and existentialism, and yet church attendance remains as high as ever. Is the humanist culture impacting the church, or is the church impacting a humanist culture? At Reformation Church, we want to see the church make an impact on culture. That's why we encourage churches everywhere to bring a biblical worldview and a biblical view of ethics back to this culture. As pastors preach the Word of God, Christians everywhere should be taking Old and New Testament and applying it to politics, economics, education, art, and culture. And one more thing, we also want to see relationships renewed. Instead of fragmenting the family by the way we structure our church education and family life, let's reintegrate the family. Let's put a value on church relationships by engaging in hospitality. And let's reintegrate the family by building up relationships within the family. This is our vision at Reformation Church in Castle Rock, Colorado, and for hundreds of other churches throughout Colorado. Visit our website at www.reformationchurch.com.